Rochester Church of Christ is called to live God's gospel, truth, and love with the world so that we all may find life together in God. Our hope is that this message will share that gospel, truth, and love in a way that will bless you, enrich you, and better equip you as a disciple.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's word from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today's salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you came to seek and save the lost. Because God, that's us. And you have found us. You are such a good seeker. And God, I am not a great seeker. But I am so thankful you found me and I have found you. Speak today, Father, for your children are listening. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I want to give a special shout out to a group of folks who are watching down south of the border in Mexico who texted me this morning. I'm so glad to hear from y'all, and God bless you. It's always fun to hear when folks are listening from a good distance and joining us online. All right, so I'm going to sing to you twice today. Don't get excited. And I want to address real quickly, I didn't wear green today, not on purpose, but because I forgot. But I'm kind of looking forward to getting pinched. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not. Don't touch me. After my surgery, I'm still healing up and I can't make a fist. I used to call this one 30 seconds and this one was sudden death, right? Now, though, this one doesn't close as well, and so it's now sudden death and disrespect. And so disrespect will be swinging freely as I extend the left hand of fellowship to anyone who tries to get close enough to pinch me. Oh, we're having a great day already. I'm so off script. We're going to do things a little differently today. I'm not going to be up here for as long, don't say amen out loud, because we have a special focus that we want to give with regarding the Lord's Supper, and I look forward to that coming here in just a little bit. But in my brief time with you, I want to talk about this story about Zacchaeus. Now, I'm going to start with a song from when I was in Bible school, way, way back as the earth's crust was cooling. I went to Sunday school, and they taught us this song about Zacchaeus. And it went like this. "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." And we had to do this. "And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see." Right? Okay. Now, I want to be clear. The thing we've mentioned twice about Zacchaeus in this song and even made the hand gesture for was what? that he is wee little. He is, he's one of the little people from Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Like, he is tiny. That is a very a dated reference. He is a Smurf, three apples tall. that's less dated, but still dated. So we've got a wee little man. That, here's the deal. That is not what Scripture leads with when it tells us about Zacchaeus. When the Bible starts talking about Zacchaeus, it mentions two things. The first thing it tells you is that he is a chief tax collector. Now, few people in any context espouse great love for the tax man. Right? There are certain things that children should hear growing up. They should hear you say, I love you. They should hear you say, I forgive you. They should hear you say, you're important. They should hear you say, taxation is theft. No, but no one loves the tax man. But this was especially true in first century Israel, which had been occupied by Rome, foreign invaders. The Romans would tax folks. And in order to collect that money, the Romans would hire tax collectors who would go out house to house and collect the taxes. And the tax collectors got paid solely on commission, meaning whatever they collected above and beyond what Rome wanted. So if Rome asks for 10 silver coins, the tax collector may come by your house and say, Yvonne, it's 13 silver coins this month. You pay the 13. They made 3. Rome gets their 10. The tax collector gets the rest. So tax collectors were taking from their people. Now, in Zacchaeus' case, this is crazy. He's a Jew. Collecting for the Romans. So in addition to being a thief, he's a traitor in their eyes. And he's getting rich doing it. In most of their minds, you couldn't be a good Israelite and be a Roman tax collector. He's a chief tax collector, which means he's good at his job. Wealthy tax collectors were seen as the most despicable thieves. That's the second thing we're taught about Zacchaeus, by the way, is that he's very wealthy. So there's Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus happens to be in Jericho when Jesus arrives. When Jericho hears that Jesus is coming through, they crowd the streets to see him. It's not every day that someone famous, or maybe infamous, comes by, and so it draws a crowd. Zacchaeus wants to see, but he couldn't see over folks because, remember, he's three apples tall. No, he's not, but he is vertically challenged, and so he can't see over the crowd. Now, here's the deal. Kelly and I once attended the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I believe I've told you about this. We were there. We got there at 3 a.m. to get our spot. Now, some of you already said, I'm out, right there. But that's okay. It's not on your bucket list. It was on mine. And I got there. And so I showed up. 3 a.m. we were holding our spots at this corner on the street. Now, not the good corner. That's for people who pay. If you're like us, poor folks do things poor ways, you show up at another corner and you just hold your spot. And throughout the next 5 hours in the rain and cold, people pack in around you. And you hold your spot. You don't let go of that front row seat. There's no seat. You're standing or sitting on the pavement. It was raining, sitting in the water. All right, so we're standing, holding this spot for 5 hours waiting on this thing to start. As a parade starts, they start coming down and you can hear people get excited as it starts to move through the crowd. It's coming, it's on its way, it's almost here. Look, I think I can see it. Right? And there's marching bands and there's balloons and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And it's coming your way and you can start to hear it before you see it. All right? And we're there. And just about the time it's going to turn the corner and be with us, all of a sudden you start to feel a tug on your jeans. And you look down and there's some snot-nosed kid that you're ready to tell, go kick rocks. I've been here since 3 a.m. And instead what you do is he looks up at you with those puppy dog eyes and says, I can't see. I watched. There were a million of us crowded into that space. And I watched as a soaked, tired, squished group of hardened New Yorkers gave up their spaces to those kids so that everyone could see. Zacchaeus can't see, and no one moves. That tells you everything you need to know about how they feel about him. But Zacchaeus is not easily deterred. And so he knows how to get what he wants, so he finds a sycamore tree. He climbs it in order to get a view of Jesus. Are people going to talk? Sure. But who cares? What does he care? They already hate him. It doesn't cost him public opinion. Here's the thing about Zacchaeus, though, that I think you can learn something from him. He is willing to pay what it costs to see Jesus. He is willing to pay what it costs to see Jesus. For all the things that may be are a red flag in this guy's life, this is his best thing. He is willing to pay what it costs to see Jesus. Do you want to know what he doesn't know? Zacchaeus doesn't yet realize that Jesus is willing to pay what it costs to see Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus gets up in the tree, he sees Jesus. Jesus is walking through town, and all of a sudden the parade stops. Jesus points at Zacchaeus and says, just the guy I'm looking for. Come on down here. You see, we find out something in this parade, in this story, that fills me with lots of hope. That in the middle of the parade, with everyone watching, Jesus seeks out the least desirable person in the crowd, stops and looks at him and welcomes him into his presence. That Jesus is not intimidated by the man's sinfulness. He's not intimidated by his limitations or by his reputation or past. There is nothing about Zacchaeus's humanness or humanity that scares Jesus away. And this is the gospel. Jesus is not intimidated by my sin or my humanity either. Jesus is not intimidated by your sin or your humanity either. That Jesus looks and sees you and he says, I want to spend time with you today. And you may say, I don't know that I really fit in with the rest of this crowd. And Jesus says, well, it's a good thing they're not the judge of who I can spend time with. Brennan Manning puts it this way. He says, the gospel is not for good guys with white hats. It's for the poor, weak, sinful men and women with hereditary faults and limited talents. People like you, people like me. And the thing is, Jesus doesn't just stop and say, hi, Zacchaeus. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come stay with you for a little while. I'm going to come spend time with you. Now, look at verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. They saw it, and rather than say, holy smokes, Jesus isn't just passing through. Jesus is going to stop and talk to someone from our town. they immediately are disappointed with the kind of people Jesus is willing to associate with. Come on. Rather than be excited that Jesus is going to spend time with someone, they immediately resent Jesus for who he chooses to spend his time with. Because it's not who they would have chosen. I don't know how many religious folks need to hear that today. Because I tend to think that it is amazing how the powerful and successful and religious people look down their noses at Jesus when they realize he's willing to associate with people that they will not. But now, it's the whole crux of the matter. This part right here is the whole thing. Because in verse 10, Jesus is going to say, I came here to what? Seek and save the lost. I wonder how many religious people today would be upset to find Jesus staying in the homes of a lot of people they refuse to be around. Zacchaeus immediately does two things in the text. Jesus speaks to him once, and he immediately does two things. First thing he does is he gives half of his possessions to the poor. Second thing he does is he promises to repay anyone he's cheated fourfold. One encounter with Jesus changes everything. Zacchaeus divests himself of all of his wealth. He gives it all away. And having found that which is of greatest value, he went and sold everything he had to take hold of that which is worth the most. That sounds like a parable. You see, Zacchaeus' entire understanding of value and wealth is turned on its head within seconds of meeting Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Looking at Jesus, he realizes that he needs to make some things right. He needs to apologize to some folks and he needs to repent. Not just say he's sorry, but actually turn around and move the other direction. He needs to own his mistakes and then provide reparations to the folks he's hurt. And the truth is that sometimes saying I'm sorry is costly. Here's what I love. Zacchaeus didn't have to be told to do it. He met Jesus, gave away everything he had, and never had to be told to do it. It doesn't say Jesus said, you need to make your reputation better. It doesn't even say he was corrected. It doesn't say that he was trying to win the crowd over. He met Jesus one time, and it changed the way he viewed everything else permanently. And Jesus' response to that is amazing. Look at verses 9 and 10, and then the sermon's yours. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house. Here's what I notice. Does anyone want salvation to come to their house today? Amen, me too. Here's what I notice. First, Zacchaeus received Jesus rightly. Zacchaeus received Jesus rightly. He knows something. Jesus doesn't just come over and visit. Jesus comes over and redecorates. Jesus changes things around. You see, the thing about Zacchaeus that I love is that Zacchaeus is open to, and this is the best way I could put it, the more of Christ's presence. Zacchaeus is willing to imagine what more his life could be if he had Jesus instead of that money. If he had Jesus instead of that reputation, if he had Jesus instead of whatever else he's trying to cling to. Because all of that stuff, money, possessions, whether or not it's your reputation, I'll tell you what, men, women, children, family, all of them make terrible gods. Because they're not made to do it. They don't exist to do it. Only God is God. And Zacchaeus is open to the more of what his existence could be. His openness includes a willingness to be swept away by what life could be if he learned to get over himself, if he learned to get over his pride, if he learned to let Jesus have control, if I learned to get over myself, if I learned to get over my pride, if I learned to let Jesus have control, if you learned to get over yourself, if you learned to get over your pride, if you learned to let Jesus have control. When we get carried away by Jesus' loving us and choosing us, in spite of our weakness and our obvious flaws, we cannot keep ourselves from him. Kenny, go ahead and come up. Second thing Jesus says to him, he says first, the first thing he says to him, he says, today salvation's come to your house. Second thing he says to him is that this man too is a son of Abraham. Remember, Zacchaeus was viewed as a turncoat and a traitor. He is a son of Abraham. Jesus reminds Zacchaeus. Now, here's the deal. Jesus reminds them of his identity and in the covenant people of God. Now, Zacchaeus admits he lost his way. I got to get rid of all this money. And immediately finds himself restored. He admits he lost his way and finds himself restored because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He is not scared away by our sin, our past, our weaknesses, or our flaws. Jesus will stop, notice you, look you in the eyes, and tell you, I love you, and I choose you, and I'm here to build a relationship with you. Will you receive him well? Will you receive him rightly? Will you receive him today? Will you say, I want salvation to come to my house today? Will you surrender whatever is keeping you from Christ's presence and say, I want to receive Jesus? We'll baptize you into Christ today. I want you to stand, church, and I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will work in the heart of anyone listening today who has not yet come to know you, who has not yet given their life to you, who has not yet surrendered their life and come to Jesus. God, I pray that they will feel your call today, that they will feel the Spirit's pull, and that they will give themselves to Christ. God, I pray that they will be immersed in Christ, that they will be given new life, that they will be adopted as a son or daughter of you. And with Christ as our brother and with the Spirit of God living in them, God, I pray that they are marked for your inheritance and that they can have abundant life, life that's worth giving everything for. Father, may we receive you well. Father, and for those of us who have received you but lost our way, God, call us back. Bring us back to you. God, don't let us miss this opportunity. In Christ's name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that this message has been a blessing to those listening. I pray that you would continue to work in our lives in ways that are evident and easily seen. Most of all, I pray thank you for loving us and choosing us. We don't deserve it, but you are so good and so faithful and so true. We thank you for your Spirit and your Son. May we grow in them to your glory, Father. In Christ's holy name, amen.